Ever been stuck on repeat? Have you ever rehashed the same story in your head? What was the message of that story? And is it true? Perhaps it's time for a rewrite. What is your rechoice word?
My rechoice word is reinvent.
I'm going to choose resurrection.
Reanalyze.
Redefine.
Welcome to Rechoice, where guests share a moment they chose differently. My name is Joe Pellerito. Today is our final episode of Season 3, Reacclimate. We'll quickly recap some things we've learned this year. You'll get an update on some of our guests, and then you'll learn what's next for the Rechoice podcast. We'll finish with a bang. If you'd like to learn more, see pictures of all previous guests, or pick your own Rechoice word, head on over to RechoicePod.com. But now, it's time for the show. It was a short and sweet season compared to seasons 1 and 2, but we sure learned a lot. We kick it off with Kenny Joyner's episode 84, Revisit and Reentry. Kenny inspired us all at the new year to get in the game.
Just made a declaration in myself. It said, if I ever get a chance, if I ever get an opportunity to get in the game, that I was going to blow it away, that I was going to step up and give every single thing that I have. And so as we think about going into a new year, I would say to everybody, if you want to be great, if you want to do something great, first and foremost, it starts with you. Nobody's coming to give you your dream. Nobody's coming to give you all the things you hope for. It starts with you. You've got to take action and you've got to get in the game. So whatever it is, business, whatever it is, school, whatever it is, you know, sports, right? You got to get in the game. You got to become a master of your profession and you got to study it and you got to put in the hours. Like, success doesn't just, you know, happen to us. We don't stumble into it. You won't become great unless you get in the game. And so everybody's got to get off the sidelines and get in the game, because the only people that affect the game are those that are in the game.
Liz Muzumeci's episode 85, Remix, which was our most downloaded episode this year, showed us the lengths that people will go not just to have a family, but to help others become one through a surrogate pregnancy.
Before I had my first child, my son is 13 now, before I had him, I was sitting at a bar one night with my dad and we were having a drink and he's like, you know, start having kids. And I was like, I don't know, Dad, I don't think I should. And I knew that I always wanted to be a mom. I wanted four children from the time I was 12. But at that point in my life, I was in my late 20s and I'm starting my career. And I'm like, the world is not a great place. I don't want to bring kids into not a great place. And my dad looked at me and he said, Liz, if good people don't have children, what are we going to have left? You go with God, you take that faith and you move forward knowing that you're a good person. And you will raise good people and that will continue to promote goodness in the world. And that was big for me because it's true. You know, there are amazing people in the world. We don't always hear about all those great stories, but there's so many out there and we have to keep promoting that goodness and that positivity. So just doing my little piece to promote that goodness in the world and that positivity.
That episode received a lot of feedback. Thank you, Liz, for redefining what it means to be family. I'm happy to report that since the recording of the episode, Liz's second surrogate pregnancy took. She's at 34 weeks. She will soon be giving birth again to a boy, her second child for the same couple. I know college loans have been in the news lately, but regardless of where you sit on that decision, Juby Vilsius challenged us on episode 86 to ask whether college is the right path in the first place. His word was re-articulate, that it's important to communicate clearly what we want, how we will get there, and what value we can give to others.
It depends on what you're trying to get out of the college experience. Mm-hmm. Basically, going to college is not only, well, for most people, it's not only to get a job, it's to experience being part of an institution and growing as a person. If that part is very important to you and your son, yes, you should go and find the best IT program within a great college. But if you are more interested in trying to give him the skills he will need to actually land a high paying job very quickly, college is not necessarily the way to go. They are missing the agility. Basically, college is trying to retrofit a 1,000-year-old format to a new age problem. So basically,
it's a great way to put it.
If I need to make a tweak in my program curriculum, it takes me about 2 hours to a day. If a college needs to make a tweak in their curriculum, it takes them months, perhaps years. So they are not agile enough. And they want to still keep the same format of credit hours, of semesters, of four-year degrees to train people for issues and problems that we have today.
In episode 87, Reincarnate, therapist and business coach Vasavi Kumar reminded us to be patient, but consistent. The path to your happy and successful future self, it requires self-awareness and small but consistent steps.
When we look at who we are today, and then we have that vision of who we could be, we can often feel disheartened and discouraged because we're like, oh my God, I have such a long way to go. And what I want to say is, no, you are not meant to be that person right away. But what you can do is start embodying and incorporating and integrating the qualities of your future self little by little by little by little consistently every day into your present world. And one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be that person that you've always envisioned. I think if you're told from a young age to listen to everyone else but yourself, you don't trust yourself to do it, right? We expect the solutions and the answers and all the things to be outside of us. And so we don't even believe that we have the power to change our lives, that we don't actually even think we are enough. I don't think people are lazy. I don't think they're stupid. I don't think they don't care. I think we care very much, but we've been trained to believe that someone or something out there is better or more powerful than we are.
Vasa's book, Say It Out Loud, is coming out. You can check our show notes or go to vasavikumar.com/waitlist to be the first to know when pre-orders are available. Jack Leonard Burt inspired us to rethink on episode 88. A 240-square-foot tiny house, almost entirely off-grid, a Tesla, and door dashing at age 28. Jack is not living the quote-unquote American dream as it has been traditionally defined. He's living his American dream, and he values his freedom. And when it comes to responding to trolls online,
I've actually asked quite a bit of people about why do they have a big home. And a lot of them say that I have a lot of stuff. I kind of get like a blank thought. Like when they're just like, you know, I never really thought about that. They always just say it's nice. It's nice to have.
Jack, that's what I love about how you handle that. You don't get miffed about it. You just ask some really good questions like, well, what do you need all that stuff for?
Yeah.
You know, what comes with all that stuff?
I think it's more of just asking good questions. And if my content or my personality was to get angry, then I don't think anybody, first, I don't think my content would be as good. And I don't think I'd have the following that I do. Usually people are scrolling on TikTok because they're trying to see some motivation or influence or, you know, getting a home from a long day. They don't want to see more negativity. Maybe they had a long day, a bad day at work. And although I am responding to trolls, each piece of my content, each piece of my videos actually turn into a positive.
Jack is still making plenty of content and answering questions as they come from his growing audience of over 610,000 on TikTok. Jack and his cat Phoenix, they're living the good life. And added a big garden next to his tiny house. In fact, he just canned some salsa with his own homegrown cherry tomatoes. In episode 89, Billboard pianist and producer Paul Cardall picked the word resurrection, which means more to him than you might at first think. Music has been a healing gift for him and has helped Paul bring life to others as well.
You know, we just finished donating keyboards to a bunch of hospitals throughout the United States through the Ryan Seacrest Foundation. It's amazing. The kids, you know, we did these interviews and the kids don't even have to know how to play the piano. I was like, just bang on it, your anger. And then if you feel like being kind, play something soft, let it out. In the hospital as a kid, there wasn't access to that. But as an adult, when I was waiting for a heart transplant, that was my solace, was at 9 o'clock at night after everybody had left. The nurse would carry all of my equipment. I had so many things plugged into my body. Carry it all out, wheel me out. It was a production, made me appreciate drummers who have to pack it all in, pack it all out. But I made my way to the piano, and that's where I just sit and improvise and create. I was 36 years old. I waited 385 days. You know, and for me to live, it meant somebody, a heart from somebody else. That's a really weird predicament, because you know that somebody's son or sister, brother, they're going to die. And then the organ is going to be removed from them. You know, my heart's going to be taken out because it's dead as well. And yet somehow they've figured out how to temporarily raise us from the dead.
Paul's episode was probably my biggest surprise of the season, as we found out we had a lot more in common than we realized. Paul continues to inspire with his music and media. He most recently went to the Bahamas to scuba dive and took some beautiful photos and video for All Heart Adventures. I've linked up that show on our show notes. For episode 90, I reconnected with Northview High School alumni Carrie Stewart, endurance sports coach. It was a three-word day: review, readjust, repeat, which describes her approach in coaching herself and others when tackling triathlons, marathons, and more.
I was an athlete in high school, and I enjoyed athletics. And then as I went into college, I got away from that. My life maybe kind of put me in a place that I wasn't living my best life. I wasn't where I wanted to be. And we talked about getting stuck earlier, and I had this aha moment that I needed to make some changes. One of my very best friends, Jen Pitch, oh, Sullivan. Yeah, we still run together. She was a triathlete, and I had always watched her and felt inspired. So I just decided I need to boost my self-confidence. I need to, you know, make my life better. And so I'm going for it. I'm going to try that. And then all the pieces just started falling together. And I did my first triathlon in 2010. Of course, fell in love, immediately signed up for a half marathon and fell in love with that. And the process just began. I was always into fitness, teaching fitness classes, but like the endurance aspect, I really found that it was therapeutic for me. I went through a divorce. I should have just said that right off the bat. I went through a divorce and I really needed to improve my life. And endurance sports did that for me. Cleared my head, helped me feel confident again, really believe in myself. And I just kind of found my place and I knew it was for me after that.
Since our recording, Carrie completed her comeback race in Traverse City, and her summer has been full of other adventures. In a month, she'll be doing the Dirty Mitten 50-mile gravel race. Her clients have been killing it all summer, such as Di Payne, who just completed a 153-mile gravel road race. In Des Moines, her husband Ben qualified for the Ironman World Championships that will be held in October in Kona. That's Hawaii, y'all. For those considering endurance sports, just remember this mantra I say to myself when I felt slow: complete, don't compete. Continuing along the fitness theme, episode 91, Rebirth with Mike Vandry. Mike does tough stuff. What is rucking? Mike's project in the middle of the pandemic was himself. He stepped it up with a weight on his back and lost weight in the process. It really was a rebirth for him.
So if I put 30 pounds in my back, I can go out for a couple mile ruck, and it's about like running 2 miles for my heart.
I want you all to know that Mike has been doing this no matter the weather.
Yep.
So I'll see a TikTok where this is what it sounds like. I mean, he's walking through the ice, through the snow.
I was talking with my friend and our friend, Jason, mm-hmm. And we were messaging, and And somehow we got onto like health, and I don't know how we got into health, but at that time, let me paint you a picture. I was 338 plus pounds.
Wow.
I would try to go upstairs and I would be out of breath. Just going up a single flight, I'd be out of breath. But what the worst was, what really got me, is my ankles would swell up so much at night and stiffen that I, to walk down my stairs to our main floor, I like had to hobble down them. Mm-hmm. Like instead of doing the normal, like just steps down, it was like somebody who had like a hurt knee going down, or like a grandpa, like just that slow and holding on to our railing. And so somehow Jason and I got talking about like wanting to do something awesome fitness wise. And I was like, you know what? Let's do this. Let's do this, because I am in a really shitty spot and yeah. I don't want to stay here anymore. I don't want to stay where like I can't go up a flight of stairs without being out of breath.
Since the recording, Mike took a meaningful trip to Israel. He and our friend Jason Thierry also did the Tough Mudder event in Oxford, Michigan back in June, which is full of running, multiple obstacles, water, and mud. They are currently well into training for the Grand Rapids Half Marathon coming up in October. Episode 92, Rethink, was a fun one. After 2 years, I got to return to the house of Matt Pepper, CEO and president of Michigan Humane. After learning some enlightening stats, the purpose and the vision for Michigan Humane was clarified over the pandemic. It's much more than helping someone's pet.
We have recognized that that we have a unique access into the family. When you think of social work, there's always a negative connotation. It's addiction. It's marriage counseling. It's something with the children. There's just something that's negative hovering over the reason you're engaging with social work. I'm in trouble, or something's happening.
Or you're judge appointed or something like that.
Exactly. Something's wrong. What we found was that when we go to someone's home and knock on the door, what do you want? We just want to talk to you about your dog. My dog, the door opens up and everyone's there. Let's talk about this. And then as my chief operating officer would say, then we find there's a hole in the roof. We can't ignore the hole in the roof. So why don't we use that opportunity to talk to somebody about their dog to say, hey, you know, I got some people who can help fix that for you. And I'll give you the best example of how that overlap has occurred. Food pantry work. We work very closely with Gleaners and Forgotten Harvest, and both two of the largest human food insecurity providers in the area. We did some work on researching, you know, what percentage of our clients at the pet food pantry are clients for human food pantries. And the reality was it was 70%. Then, so that caused the CEO over at Gleaners to say, well, now I got to find this out. No, I got to go find out how many of my clients have pets. 70%. You know what the national average for pet ownership is? That's your second trivia question today.
I guess 70% around.
68%. Which means that in the city of Detroit, people struggling to feed themselves own pets at a slightly higher average than everyone else in the country.
For episode 93, we had one of my personal heroes, Danny Bauer, who coaches principals and other educational leaders across the country and beyond. Yes, he's a Batman and Spider-Man fan especially, but what makes him a hero is how he helps school leaders challenge the status quo. His mastermind experience is not your usual professional development.
Mastermind guarantees results in advance, you know, like that's just what we do. And a lot of times with like conferences, workshops, you know, other PD experiences, the promise that's made to you is you're going to learn some new stuff and, you know, good luck figuring out how to work it out, sort it out, apply it. You know, the mastermind's built on a framework I created. It's the ABCs of powerful professional development. So it's built on A, authenticity, B, belonging, C, challenge. That challenge part's super important. You know, John Doerr, who wrote Measure What Matters, he said, ideas are easy, execution's everything. If you're not taking great stuff that you learn and applying it consistently, like what's the point? We will inspire you, we'll motivate you, we'll give you great stuff and help you see the world in a way you never saw it before, but we'll push you to take action too.
Danny is a ruckus maker and had just found out a couple of days before we recorded that episode that his own podcast, Better Leaders, Better Schools, is in the top 0.05% of all shows worldwide. Incredible. I continue to listen to his show every week as it has certainly helped me in my own professional development. Episode 94, Re-Envision with Matt McKellar. He'd been a librarian, an adjunct professor, a part-time drug rehab counselor, a security guard, a pastor, and more. This year, though, he drives trucks across the country. What has he learned about the trucking community?
It is a different culture, but I also think than like library culture.
Right.
As you can imagine, it's a different world. But I enjoy that because there's certain virtues and qualities in every culture and kind of working subset of people. The other thing about trucking is it's much more diverse than people might recognize.
Right. I think there is a stereotype out there. Which...
Right, right. I could certainly find you people that fit that stereotype for right. sure. But there are many others as well. And I'll give you just two quick examples. One, these days, about 10% of truckers are women, and it is rapidly increasing a more female-friendly occupation. I mean, obviously, the industry has an interest in, you're always trying to recruit truckers, and women are a whole untapped part of the population for trucking. Also, many, many immigrants are right. truckers. And so you see a lot of diversity out here. It's often it's a job that pays decently that you can get without, you know, a lot of educational qualifications or that sort of thing. And so it does tend to attract immigrants. Particularly the Sikh community has a large presence out here in trucking that's just sort of built on itself over time. And so you'll see many, many Sikhs with their heads wrapped and their long beards and a picture of their guru on the side of their truck and just friendly, hardworking folks.
Just a couple weeks ago, Matt's daughter Ellie moved to Iowa City so she could start her first year as a University of Iowa Hawkeye. Matt also changed jobs again. Well, he's still trucking, but he has a new truck with a new company. And Matt, I uncorked my own bottle of Ardbeg. Thanks for the suggestion and cheers. For episode 95, Reset, I was interviewed on the Threads podcast by Mike Vandry and Jason Teary. I love these guys. We're able to talk about some serious topics and laugh a lot, too. Their subtitle is Life Unfiltered, and I definitely was.
I just want to thank you guys for being so open about mental health, because I've been kind of in a low spot. It shows up in terms of like just not wanting to get up and go.
Yeah.
I still do, but I don't want to. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's that sadness there, and then the anxiety as well. So I'm definitely dealing with both. You'll be proud of me. You'll be proud of me. I'm seeing a therapist.
Are you?
Yes.
Nice.
We got to say it, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Say
it. Yep.
But it's been many years since that's happened. So I'm taking the appropriate steps.
I'll give some more updates on this front a bit later. Episode 96 with Christine Yared and several other guest voices centered on the relevant story of Jerry Crane.
Jerry Crane had hit his stride. A talented high school music teacher, he was loved by students and parents, lauded as one of the best teachers at his school. Jerry had reconciled his conservative religious upbringing with his identity as a gay man, finding an affirming spiritual home in a local church. He enjoyed a close circle of loving friends and had found the love of his life. In October 1995, Jerry and his partner exchanged vows in a private commitment ceremony. By the time Jerry returned to work the following week, word had spread that he had married a man. The once-loved teacher was vilified. Parents removed their children from his classes. Most of his colleagues ostracized him. The school board publicly declared that, quote, individuals who espouse homosexuality do not constitute proper role models as teachers, end quote. And they pledged to investigate and monitor Jerry. Ministers and churches joined the fray, proclaiming contrasting views about Christianity and homosexuality. As these events unfolded under the glare of the local and national media, Jerry's life became agonizing. Disturbing and deeply moving, Private Love Public School recounts the true story of what happened when members of a Midwestern community demanded that their religious beliefs be imposed on a public school, and the school followed suit.
You just heard the back cover of Christine's book, Private Love, Public School. This just in, If you are in the Grand Rapids area over the Labor Day weekend, we are hosting Christine at All Souls Community Church of West Michigan, where she will be the guest speaker during the 11 a.m. service. All Souls is a Unitarian Universalist congregation. You are welcome exactly as you are. Let me know if you'll be there. You can sit with us. We partied on episode 97 with my son Danny for the return of the Dad Joke Spectacular Repartee, which included over 25 guest voices as well. The definition of repartee is conversation or speech characterized by quick, witty comments or replies. Probably the funniest thing was the difference between my son's voices in 2020 versus 2022.
And my name is Danny Pellerito.
My name is Danny Pellerito. Today's episode is a replay of the Father's Day Dad Joke Spectacular, one of our top episodes from season one.
Hey, Danny, I have a joke. What do you call Harry Potter going through puberty?
I don't know.
Harry Pitter.
Listeners, one thing you'll notice right away in this episode from 2020 is that my voice has changed. But I've got another puberty joke. I'm taller than my dad now.
You are? We now have a senior in the house. The episode 98, Redeem. We had Kenny Joyner back to feature his book, Without a Father.
But I realized that, again, throughout those difficult times is when I've learned the most. And I wanted that to be the story from the book, that all of your pain, all of your disappointment, all of your hurt, all of the things that have caused you trouble, all of your biggest failures didn't come to break you. It came to make you. Mm. Came to make you into the very best version of yourself. And that is where I am now. I am becoming the very best version of myself. So different from the young boy who was told that he would never be or amount to anything and who lived with that for, you know, 30 plus years. It's a different person that I am now, but it only came because I used faith to overcome my fear.
I think we all need to follow Kenny's lead on this. We're becoming the best we. Vern Hazard, a champion of hope, a true brother to me. One of my favorite sayings from his episode Renew is that he won't let negative people destroy his purpose. He had a lot to say about connecting with students as well.
Every child has a story, but until you let them feel safe and trust, they're not going to tell you their needs emotionally, academically, or socially. I mean, it's really difficult for them. And then we wonder why they don't get it. Well, a lot of kids don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do good things because they've never been taught. And that's why, to me, it's so important as an educator, teacher, coach, father, whomever it may be, is that if you truly want greatness, you have to model greatness. And I'll say it 1,000 times. Kids want to do great things. And they really want to do great things for the people that are sincere and genuine and love them.
Carpe diem. Seize the day. Let's finish strong. I know you didn't regret listening to episode 100 with Shane Naderman. What does Shane have to say about regret? So get ready to paddle. As here comes a wave. Surf's up.
You know, Joe, you know me well enough to know this. I'm not interested to sit in that, right? To allow it to define my future, to have me stuck in that regret. Mm-hmm. I just want to take what it has to offer, adjust accordingly, reflect on it appropriately, and certainly move on. You know, I also still want to have the rearview mirror up that I can glance into every now and then. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't want to completely forget it. I've noticed when I forget things, I tend to repeat them. So I don't want it to be my windshield, but I certainly want it to be a bit of a rearview mirror for me as well that I glance into every now and then.
While that may have sounded serious, there were plenty of laughs on that episode as well. We also reminisced about Dude Trip 2022, four friends surfing in the ocean, skiing in the mountains, and shooting dice on the Vegas Strip, all within 24 hours. Epic time. And Shane, you're an epic friend. Finally, episode 101, Rethink with Terry Caldwell at Doors of Hope in West Michigan. I borrowed this interview from the Threads podcast with Jason Teary and Mike Vandry as it's a relevant topic we really wanted to address, especially given the surprising stats of those who are one crisis away from poverty.
These people are working jobs, right? But they are one crisis away from landing in poverty and homelessness. And so when I say crisis, I think, you know, somebody dies or we get divorced. But crisis for them is your car breaks down. Yeah, so you can't get to work.
Yeah.
Or your kid is sick. And so you have to miss work to stay home with your kid. Or we had a lot of that through COVID where all of a sudden single moms now have to homeschool their kids or be there to, you know, help with the Zoom education. Mm-hmm. So those, any one of those things can start people on that cycle quickly. And so in Ottawa County, we have 38% of our population living in that, what we call the ALIS population. Wow. And in Zealand, 44% of the population. I know people don't believe that, but it is
in
true.
In Zealand?
Terry gave us a three-dimensional view of people who are living in crisis and solid ways to best support the unhoused. Jason, Mike, and Natalie, thanks for making this interview possible. And that brings us to today, episode 102. For this episode, I chose the word reacclimate. The definition is to readapt to a new environment. Things have changed a bit in my world, and I'd like to try and share what I mean with you. I alluded to this in episode 95, Reset. In short, since January, I've experienced a period of anxiety and depression, and I've surfed waves of this before in my life, but it seemed especially pronounced this past spring. After finding the help I needed, I'm doing much better. I'm reacclimating to a calmer situation. One of my new steps is to journal in the morning and at the end of the day. I've tried journaling before, but would stop after a few days because blank pages, they're hard to fill. I then remembered the 6-minute diary, which my Missouri friend Kara Kerrer gave to me as a gift last time I visited the St. James School District way back in February. The journal was still wrapped in its original plastic. And in one of the first pages, there's a John Maxwell quote, "You will never change your life until you change something you do daily. The secret of your success is found in your daily routine." I've certainly heard this quote before, and I've experienced the snowballing power of small habits. I thought I'd give this new habit, a different type of journal, a try. Let's just say this simple routine has helped me big time. My morning plan, before I look at anything electronic, I write 3 things I'm grateful for, 1 or 2 ways I'd like to make the day great, and 1 positive affirmation. In the evening, before bed, I write about 1 good deed that I did, 1 way I'll improve, and 3 great things I experienced that day. There's more throughout the journal to assess weekly and monthly, but the daily routine is the gist of it, and this different type of journal makes it easy to do. So simple, yet I've been journaling now for over 70 days. It's really helped me calm down and feel more grateful. So thank you, Kara. And if you've made it this far, listener, I just want to say thanks for listening. This podcast has been about thinking differently, and who knew, the host is still working on that. So what's next for the Rechoice podcast? We'll take a break. I'll reacclimate. After all, we just got a new 7-month-old puppy named Nico in the house. Yes, we're planning on a season 4. Several guests are planning to participate. They know, though, we're on pause for now. I'm not sure when I'm going to start back up again, but it's going to be a while. And I look forward to sharing with you what I've learned when we return. If you're subscribed, stay subscribed. That way, when we start again, you'll be the first to know. And to the patrons of the show on Patreon, your financial sponsorship and encouragement has meant so much to me. For now, the Patreon page for Rechoice is closed. I will open it back up for possible contributions only when we have new episodes ready to go. I will, however, keep the RechoicePod.com website up, as well as continue with my Buzzsprout membership so that the show is still hosted and can be found on most podcasting platforms. To finish this episode, You know the usual tagline. Reframe your past, renew your present, and reclaim your future. But no, today we need something bigger to end season 3. Prepare to be inspired by this epic conclusion from 40 well-known movies, all in 2 minutes.
Will you fight? No! We will run! And we will live!
Shame on you!
This could be the greatest night of our lives. But you're gonna let it be the worst.
And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life you won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
Well, I'm not going home.
We've got too far!
And I'm gonna stay right here and fight for this lost cause.
A day may come when the courage of men fails, but it is not this day.
The line must be drawn here. This far, no farther.
I'm not saying it's gonna be easy.
You're gonna work harder than you ever worked before.
But that's fine, we'll just get tougher with it.
If a person grits his teeth and shows real determination,
failure is not an option.
That's how winning is done.
Believe me when I say,
we can break this army here.
And win just one for the Gipper.
But I say to you, what every warrior has known since the beginning of time,
you've got to get mad.
I mean plumb mad dog mean.
If you would be free men, then you must
fight to fulfill that promise. Let us
cut out their living guts
1 inch at a time.
And they will know what we can do.
Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
You're like a big bear, man.
This is your time.
Seize the day. Never surrender.
Victory or death.
That's the Chicago.
Who's with me?
Clap. Clap. Don't let him die. Clap.
All right. Let's fly.
And gentlemen in England now abed shall
know my name is the Lord. When I
tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
our Independence Day.
Check the show notes to see that masterpiece on video. Take care and see you next time.